Greetings, salutations, and welcome back to the Planestalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my effervescent, amazing, and astounding co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how the hell are you? It's been a hot minute.
I am in mourning, sir. The king is dead. Long live the king.
What king is that?
Esper Control.
You are finally admitting it. That's beautiful.
For now.
We should just get right... Untap a keep and draw. All right.
Big asterisk on that.
Oh, you're waiting for Eldraine, I know.
Well, we
but
for Eldraine.
Yes, here's... Well, this is the untap phase. And guys, we have been here. We're going to go over tonight. We have our main phase with where we've been, what's been new. We're going to be talking about our return to Kerwin's and Paper Magic this Friday.
Yep.
We want to talk about the biggest new decks in meta from Core 2020. You know, for combat phase, I really, really want to talk about the judges thing that's been happening. Because that's a mess.
Yeah.
Second main phase, we're going to talk about the Plains Vacations going on in Arena, catching up thoughts on this event, and end that up. I mean, usually main two is Arena, but we still want to talk about Throne of Eldraine and a little bit of Commander 2019. But that's where we're at. And so let's get right into, you know...
Main phase.
Oh my gosh, I almost forgot. Like, we usually do this on Untap, but tonight is brought to you not by Sam Adams, and hashtag not sponsored, but Blue Moon Mango. Mango wheat. This is leftover from the wedding.
Wow.
So, well, because I was like, I had one left. Like, everybody drank it. And I was like, you know what? That's a podcast beer. So I've kind of held on to it. So
I thought I was eating more like, I want one.
Yes, I used a thing. Oh, God. I forgot that screw top. It's so weird.
Oh, boy. I'm still going with the water.
That's an interesting taste. I do not mind
it. I got to be the designated podcaster.
Yes. So, Aramis, how the heck have you been, man? Like, it's been a while.
It's been a while. It's been 2 weeks, but it really feels like it's been a lot longer.
Well, it's been three. It's been three since we recorded. We took 2 weeks off. We were only going to take one for the wedding.
Yeah.
And then, you know, things happen.
Big stuff happened, yeah. Some big personal stuff happened. Not going to get into it here, but it's passed now. So, hopefully, fingers, toes, and... various other extremities crossed, that we will be back on something resembling a regular schedule going forward.
Yeah, you know what? It was kind of weird. Wendy and I were talking about it. First of all, thank you everyone who sent congratulations. And I think I actually I think I threw this up on our page, and if not, it was definitely on mine. But the wedding was up, and yes, I am officially, you know, I'm 100% married now. And thank you for all the congratulatory emails and messages we got. It was great. It was a wonderful day. We really enjoyed it. The honeymoon was spectacularly awesome. So many stories. But just everything else that happened. But, you know, we were talking about it from that perspective. We were like, wow, we went from, you know, we had a big thing going on, you know, around Memorial Day we did something. And then we had my bachelor party, pseudo-bachelor party. And then a week later, we had Nicholas graduate. And then a week after that, or actually 2 days after that, we went to our alma mater in Oswego to do a music department reunion. And then 2 weeks after that, we got married. It was pretty much like...
busy.
Oh, wait, I forgot. Isabel's birthday. And, you know, like, it was just... the first part of this summer was insane.
But it sounded like good stuff.
Yeah, it was. It was. It was just a lot of work and a lot of things to do, which is why I said, you know, we're going to take... the summertime, we're going to take a few liberties to not do as much because, holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, which is great. And then, you know, the week of the honeymoon, obviously, I wasn't going to record because I enjoy being married.
Mm-hmm. And then breathing, right?
And breathing, yes. I'm a big fan of breathing. Oh, wow. That just happened. So, I mean, we had a great, you know, the summer's been good. But, yeah, now we can kind of get a little bit more on a regular schedule. The only major thing we've got going on is Nicholas goes to college in 3 weeks, or 2 weeks.
Okay.
Well, 2.5 weeks. So that's going to be... Wendy did really well with the whole graduating from high school thing. I think driving to Oswego, she'll be okay because that's our home and it's our alma mater and that's where he's going. But I think when we leave him there...
yeah,
that's gonna be the moment where she's gonna be like, "I don't like this."
Yeah.
So, but I think other than that, I mean, our summer's pretty well. You know, we're in a good spot as far as you know, timing for Mondays and stuff. So hopefully we can get back to a regular schedule.
Yes.
You know, and last week was just, I needed another week. I really did. I was just like, oh, it's first day back at work after a week off. And yeah, let's not roll tonight. So it was over, you know, and the honeymoon was great. If you had never been to Atlantic City, go. Bring money, because, oh my God, it's not Vegas. It's expensive. But we had a great time. There was a lot of... Wendy, the first night, got a little tipsy, would be the word. That would be one word. The other word would be I had to actually make sure that she flowed uphill to get to the room, because, wow. But, you know, and then the last night, and, you know... Here's what's funny about the last night. See, when Wendy was sloppy drunk on our first night there, I didn't take video. I might have took a picture or two and laughed about it, but I have the stories. No, Wendy has video. Uh-oh. Video of me. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what's her name on Facebook again? I'm just going to check that out. Hold on one second. Give me your number.
Yeah,
I'll text
her. There's definitely video evidence of me. I went over apparently the list of things we had, because she's like, how did you get this? And I was like, well, I had this and this and this and this. Basically, what I had was what amounted in a span of like 2.5 hours. I think I had like 4 beers, 3 shots of Jameson, like actual shots of Jameson.
Oh, my God.
And then we went to this place called Wet Willie's, which is a daiquiri bar. And it's like a frozen yogurt place with the flavors on the wall, but they're all daiquiris. And they're almost all made with grain alcohol, not rum. So, yeah, ow.
Yeah, so you woke up in the next morning and your liver was sitting next to you drinking a cup of coffee.
No, this is what's weird. It's like the whole Oswego thing, like going for the music department reunion. And I think I talked about this the last time. It's like, for some reason, like my body has kicked into 20-year-old mode, and... I woke up the next morning and I'm like, all right, let's load up. Let's go. And she's like, you're not hungover? I'm like, no, I'm fine. Let's go. I can drive.
Well, lucky you.
I was like, because she was excited. She was sick the second day. Ugh. Like, we pretty much stayed inside. It was rainy anyway. So we stayed inside the hotel and we went and did, like, touristy things in the hotel. I bought a hat, like an adult hat, which, you know.
I saw pictures.
Yeah. Hey, I pull that off.
No, it was a nice hat.
I could pull that. I didn't think I could, because usually I'm the backward, you know, Kevin Smith hat guy. But that's where kind of we've been, is we were in full-blown wedding mode, and Aaron Aramis had some personal stuff, too, he had to take care of. So, I mean, we were definitely down a ton. A ton has happened. You know, an entire new set drop, which is going to shape how we do, because Friday night, you're in, right? We're going to Kerwin's?
Yes, I should be in there, yeah.
Okay. So Friday night, we're going to go play Magic again, return to Paper Magic. We're going to Kerwin's game in Catskill, New York. And, you know, I'm excited personally. I mean, I haven't played real Magic in a while, to tell you the truth. I'm doing a lot of Arena, playing a lot of Arena, but not a lot of Paper. So I got to start building my deck again, though, because all my decks are, you know, War of the Spark.
Yeah. I haven't updated any of my decks yet either. I'm still looking on what to play, because I'm not actually going to be playing Esper.
No, you're not. This is you started with this. This
I
is
did.
Amazing.
I've been waiting patiently. I've been letting you, you know, gush about the wedding and the honeymoon. Everything's great. Congratulations.
You're welcome.
But
you.
Yeah, there was a rather radical shift with Core 2020, and Esper is kind of on the bottom of the pile right now.
It full-blown sucks, according to... No.
the king is dead, the king being Esper. Long live the king is Scapeshift.
Yeah, Scapeshift is... It's still beatable.
It's beatable, but damn, is it fun.
Oh, yeah, it's a fun... It's your style of deck. I'm surprised you're not playing Scapeshift.
I need to get my hand on more Scapeshifts.
Yeah, that's going to be... And which is... It's hard for me to grab Scapeshift, because... It's going to ramp, or it's going to rotate out in a month and a half.
But it's still legal in Modern.
Right.
And ironically, they printed it primarily as a Modern reprint, and now all of a sudden it's like, this plus Field of the Dead plus Baby Teferi equals End Step 14 Zombies? Shrug?
End Step 14. Nice. But yeah, it's definitely, you know... It's a very interesting idea, as far as how it works and the mechanics of it. I mean, why don't you talk about it? I mean, we can get into that.
The thing that surprised me the most is that this thing literally came out of nowhere and blew up in the meta. In the last big event, it was, I want to say, the top 65, it was 20% of the 20 or 25% of the top 65 decks were Scapeshift. 50% of the top 16 were Scapeshift, and 50% of the top 8 was Scapeshift. I mean, it was huge. And the way the deck works is basically it's you ramp. You ramp to get to 7 lands. When you get to about 7 lands, one of the lands you want to get is called Field of the Dead, and it comes into play tapped, and it adds a colorless mana. But the ability that you're really looking for is, it says when Field of the Dead or another land enters the battlefield, if you control 7 or more lands with different names, you create a 2/2 zombie token. So what you do is once you get to 7 lands, you cast Scapeshift, sacrifice everything if you don't have a Field of the Dead, your other 6 lands if you do, and you get basically 6 other lands with different names, and you get that many zombies. So if you have more than 7 lands in play, and one of them's Field of the Dead, you make sure you sacrifice 7 or, you know, 7 minus X lands, or X minus 7 lands. There you go.
Right.
You want to make sure you're sacrificing at least 6 or 7 lands, so you can get 7 different named lands in play, and then for each copy of Field of the Dead, you get a 2/2 zombie, because they all come into play at the same time. But Field of the Dead sees them all come into play at the same time, says, oh, there's 7 altogether. Okay, here's your zombies. So the crazy thing that you do is you use Baby Teferi, you plus him, so you can play sorceries as if they had flash. And during your opponent's end step, ideally you've got, say, what, 8 lands in play? You cast Scapeshift, sacrifice everything, get 2 Field of the Dead, 6 other named lands. There's 14 2/2 zombies. You untap, attack, and your opponent usually dies.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's one of the complaints that I'm hearing about this format right now is that it actually feels a lot like Modern, in that there's not a whole lot of interaction. It's a lot of decks that are basically just sitting there going, I'm just doing my thing, and if you can kill me before that, great, but I'm not going to stop you. You just have to stop me.
Totally.
So, but, you know, there's that deck that's doing great. There's, you know, Simic Nexus is still floating around. Mono Red's still around. You might see a little bit of Esper Hero here and there, but it's not as big as it used to be. But Bant Scapeshift is basically the boogeyman right now.
Yeah, and it is. It's 100% the boogeyman. And I get it. And I feel it. I do. I like it. I don't know. It's not my style. It's not my play style, really. I mean, there's been a bunch of other decks that have kind of come up.
Combo.
We were right about one thing. Well, yeah, maybe it's because I just don't have the cards for it. Like, I think I got to play it even on Arena. I don't even have it in Arena.
I have it on Arena.
Yeah. I think what for me, what I have to do is, you know, maybe if I can start getting the cards for it. Like, I got to be honest with you. I think I've opened 4 packs of M20.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 5. I think I got my pre-release pack, and I think I've opened like 6 other packs. And to tell you the truth, I haven't had time. So it's been kind of interesting in that, you know, I don't have a lot of the core 20 cards.
Yeah.
You know, I'm obviously, I got an idea about what I want to play. I mean, some of the other decks that are out there, though, I mean,
Temur Elementals.
Temur Elementals is big-ish.
Risen Reef is as crazy as advertised. It's the deck itself, I'm not sure, is completely optimal. But Risen Reef is scary.
Risen Reef is scary, but it's not even top 10 right now. No. Sitting in, you know, it's sitting in, what do you call it? Sitting in on MTG Goldfish, it's not even there. I mean, I was amazed to find out that Orzhov Vampires and Jund Dinosaurs are a thing again. Like, we've gone back to... We were right. We're going to go back to, you know, creature-based, you know, type of decks. Like,
there's no true control deck right now.
No, not really. I think... you know what? I would call Simic Flash control. I would. Eh. It's Flash, but I mean, you're doing a lot of control, and it's. I think Simic Flash is 100% control. Like you're the whole point, and I mean, I've been playing a lot of Simic Flash, and I've been having real success with it. The whole point of Simic Flash is you keep them from doing anything until you can get your Wolfie out, or until you get the guy who lets you, who gets plus one every time you do crazy stuff.
The Brightborn Cutthroat, yeah, but you have to really be careful for Little Teferi. They drop Little Teferi, your whole game plan goes out the window.
Yeah, that's the trick. And I mean, that's where you have to make sure when I'm playing that, I mean, I am always trying to keep two untapped at all times. So it does, it's slower play. My deck list that I have for Simic Flash, I mean, I've seen the one on MTG Goldfish. I'm not running Opt. I'm running four Syncopates. I'm running the Essence Scatters. I'm running two extra Negates. And I'm running a couple of other counter spells just to keep them, keep everything off the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you don't, you're screwed. You just are.
Yeah. Another one of the cards that's turned into a big all-star in this format is Veil of Summer.
Oh, God, Veil of Summer's stupid.
That card, I mean, the amount of abilities they packed into a one-mana card, for a color hoser especially, I'm really kind of surprised that they did that, because it does so much. I mean, you draw a card, if they cast a spell, you get hexproof, your spells can't be countered, your permanents get hexproof. It's like, geez, okay. I mean, hexproof from blue and black, but still, I mean, come on.
And when I'm playing BO1 with this deck, I have three Shifting Ceratopses in the deck, because even though I'm not playing blue every time, that card is ridiculously stupid.
Yeah, it definitely can be. It's destroy target Teferi.
Yeah, basically. Well, what it is that Shifting Ceratopses, you pay the one extra, you can get haste, you get trample, or you get reach.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's hexproof from blue.
Well, protection from blue.
Protection from blue.
Much better than hexproof.
Yes. So, I mean, for me, and in BO1, you're placing a lot of blue lately, especially with these stupid elemental decks. So, I mean, I have a pretty good win rate. I think I'm up to gold 3, which I was only at gold 1 when we rotated again. Wedding. But I've been kind of grinding back up a little bit every day. And, I mean, that deck's good. But, I mean, I have a pretty good Orzhov Vampires deck, which I've thought about putting together for Friday.
Well, here's something, too, to consider. Think about this. When Core Set 2019 came out, it was a decent core set. There were some good cards in it. Maybe one or two archetypes sort of got a boost. You know, Simic, you know, Nexus was obviously a thing that came out. But can you remember a core set having as much impact as 2020 in recent memory?
No, and we kind of talked about this. It's like, I'm just having fun with the layout. We talked about this, though, that this core set's different than a lot of the other core sets.
Yeah.
It's very much a bit overpowered in the way it interacts. And I think it has to do with how the standard metagame has evolved. Basically, War of the Spark. A lot of these cards would not be this powerful without War of the Spark behind it.
I don't know. I mean, because, like, the elemental...
Well, Simic Flash is a complete Core 20 set. But.
The Vampire deck's completely Core 2020, and the Elementals deck is basically completely Core 2020.
Not really. The stuff that makes the Vampire deck work is Core 2020.
Yeah,
but,
it's Sorin.
It's Sorin and Knight.
But there's nothing in there from War of the Spark.
Nothing from War of the Spark. It's all from Ixalan and Rivals. Because Sanctum Seeker, Legion Lieutenant, Odonto, Vicious Conquistador, and Skymarcher are all in Legion's Landing. Like, losing Cast Down and Mortify. I'm ready to lose Cast Down. I know we're going to get a 2-drop in Throne, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, there is still Murder.
Yeah, but that's a 3-drop.
Yeah, but...
You're losing, I
don't know. I think this is for a core set. I'm very surprised at how powerful it is. I know
Me too.
A lot of it. I think you can credit Wizards R&D for how they've been designing sets lately.
Well, they seem to keep just going for bigger and bigger and bigger. So
yeah,
and I'm here for it. By the way, I'm 100% here for it. But And I mean, even the Dino deck, and you know how much I love playing dinosaurs. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty good. It's kind of funny to me that they don't have the dino decks I've seen. They aren't playing the Polyraptor. I think because they're like, we don't want to draw.
Yeah, no, it's an automatic draw with Polyraptor.
Well, no, it's not. If there's a way to stop it, but yeah.
Well, yeah, you have to stop the loop yourself.
Yes. But I mean, yeah, it's. I'm still not sure what I'm playing this week. I think I'm gonna try to put together a Simic Flash. Mm-hmm. If not, I really don't know what. I mean, I could roll Feather. Because I got most of that. I've got most of Vampires.
That's one of those decks you can practice with, though.
Yeah. I cracked two Sorens. So, I mean, Esper's still the fourth deck. It's Esper Tempo is still there. But it's just, they're not doing control. It's definitely, it's nice to see how the metagame has kind of shifted. You know, it's nice to see RDW back in fifth place.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about that at all. I'm very happy. Although, actually, there is a small chance I might actually bring Red Deck Wins to the tournament Friday.
Are you thinking about RDW, or are you thinking about rolling with the special there? What the hell is it? The
Cavalcade of Calamity, or
yeah, the Cavalcade.
No, that was like a flash in the pan. I might be more towards traditional red deck.
You think?
Yeah, I don't know.
Cavalcade is still fun. I play it every once in a while. Sure, I get beat, but like when it goes off, you're just kind of like.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It could be that. I have most of the cards for Simic Nexus. I think I just have to get some Tameos. If
you roll it with Nexus, people are gonna be like, "What the hell, man?"
Well, that's what I rolled with the first week we went. Remember, I went with Bant.
Right.
I went Bant Nexus.
And I think you could, and I think you should. I mean, if you like, you love to play Nexus, you should play Nexus.
Yeah, dust them off one last time.
Yeah, because I mean, when's rotation? What, 3 weeks?
No, October.
Oh, I thought it was September.
No, okay, it's October.
Cool. Oh, so we got
it's when time. it's when Throne of Eldraine comes out, Exelon Block and Dominaria and Corset 19 rotate out.
Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting, you know. And I mean, Throne of Eldraine looks like a whole lot of fun.
That set looks like it's gonna be awesome, just for the flavor aspect of it. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we've got time for
we'll
that.
We'll touch on that. We will touch on that later.
Yeah, we will touch on that. I mean, so your deck right now, I mean, your favorite deck, I mean, if you could play any deck, money, no object, would you play Scapeshift or?
It's tough. It's because, well, here's the thing. Like, it's like I've always said, I don't really have a lot of experience with the other decks. So it's hard to just pick one up and run into a tournament. Even if it is just a Friday Night Magic, it's hard to do that. If I could play any deck, it probably would be Scapeshift if I had time to practice with it. Because it's just, I always like the ability to win out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, the oops, I win. You know, Nexus is great and all, but that one's, it's just like, I'm taking 27 extra turns, and I'm going to start eventually slowly bouncing your permanents and making a really big zombie. You're never going to take another turn. Feel free to concede. If you don't, this is just going to keep going.
Right, and we're going to go to a draw, which they shouldn't concede. I tell my students that all the time.
I'm you shouldn't, concede. But I mean, it's, at the same time, it's like, I'm okay with it. Are you?
Oh, that's, yeah. So, I mean, Core 2020 is definitely worthwhile.
Kudos.
I'm happy with it. Yeah, well done. You know, we'll get into some more of that next week. I mean, there's been some championship stuff in play, and we'll definitely have some stories from Friday night. I mean, what, spoiler season should start, like, what, 7 seconds after Commander drops?
Yeah, well, they're in the middle of spoiler season for Commander right now, and there's already some crazy stuff in that set.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing. Of course there is. I mean, first of all, a Commander set is 400 cards.
Yeah.
Think about it. It's not 256, and it's 400 cards.
It is mostly reprints, though.
Yeah, I know, but it's the reprints of what they're reprinting that is usually people are like, holy crap. You know?
It's usually like Sol Ring, you know?
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's pivot from that then. I do want to get into the next thing. So let's go ahead and get to combat.
Combat phase.
Okay. So what I wanted to talk about tonight, and I mean, I almost went like on the air last Monday when this whole thing came out, because. Basically, while we were on our hiatus here, it came out that Wizards has decided to do away with the judging. Period. Like, that's the big news. Like, from the Wizards' perspective, they are doing away with the judges program. There'll be no more foils given by Wizards to judges, you know. They're not going to be judges. They're not going to be working for, quote-unquote, working for Wizards or any of that. It's just, it's basically dead. The judges program, from a Wizards of the Coast perspective, is dead. And what's happened is that they have contracted or made a deal with another company, a private for-profit company, to come in
called brand the new Judges, company.
Brand new company called the Judges Academy.
Yeah.
To come in and take over tournament judging and the judge program. They're going to give the foils that they would give to judges to this company. Now, realize this, that judges, okay, something that's never really spoken of is that some of them do get paid by events and things like that, but for the most part, it's a voluntary thing. You volunteer to become a judge. You volunteer to help your local game store out, and you learn all the rules, and you get all the things done so that on a Friday night magic or through small little, you know, what used to be the PPTQs and all of this, the little stuff, or even the bigger MCQs now, you would be a judge. You would go there and be available to help judge and adjudicate the event.
Right.
And you did this on the arm, completely free. You volunteered to do it. You you still had to get certified. You still had to prove to Wizards that you were judge worthy or whatever.
But even that was mostly free.
Right. It was free all the way.
Yeah.
And what you had to do was, you know, if you wanted to be a level 1, you had to find a level 2 to train you. If you wanted to be a level 2, you had to find a level 3. And you had to find, you know, they would certify you through. You'd go there, and the higher ranks you went up. What Wizards did to incentivize judging was offer these foils. Some of them very valuable foils.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of them at one point was a Teferi. I mean, it just very, very valuable foils that then the judges could either keep, which was what they were hoping, or because, you know, Wizards doesn't acknowledge that there's a secondary market, but they acknowledge that there was a secondary market. And then mm-hmm. they would, you know, the judges could sell those off. They had no provision about not selling them off. So now, there had been some controversy around the judges program in the last year or so. Apparently, and I wasn't aware of this, there was a scandal involving judges being official judges that might have been at one time accused. I don't want to be very, very careful with the legalese here, but were, you know, accused or suspected of being people that should not be around children. So that's a good way to word it. Yeah. And, you know, in that regard, and then also other type of things going on. And then what happened was, it's like, much like the Uber thing that happened, is that a few of the judges were like, well, you know, we're doing this stuff for Wizards, like, but we're not employees of Wizards, but we should be employees of Wizards because, you know, we're adjudicating their events and they're making money off of these events. Like, why are we not treated as at least independent contractors or paid? And I guess somebody started to sue Wizards, and I think it got thrown out or was in the process, and that's when they were like, you know what, screw it, we're done, we're not going to have the judge, we're not going to have Judge Academy or judges, you know, we're not going to have the judge program. There you go. You can stores, and again, it's Wizards, forgive my language, it's Wizard fucking over the local game stores and saying, you're on your own, you figure it out, you know. They even, when this whole thing with the kid, the people who shouldn't be around kids came out, they put it on the local stores to do the background checks. They said, right, you do background checks. We're not going to do it. It's a standard Wizards practice of, you know, screw you, we're not going to take care of this. And then, so finally what they did was they did away with the judges program altogether. They've gone to this Judges Academy. Holy crap. Right. What a forgive me, this is going to happen again. What a shit show. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's awful. It's a private for-profit company, so they don't have to be transparent.
Right.
It's basically saying what used to be free, well, now we're not going to charge Wizards for this. I'm sure there's money from Wizards, by the way. We're not going to charge Wizards for this. For you to be a judge, you will have to pay us for the privilege of being certified by us as a magic judge. Right. Meanwhile, the other thing I didn't realize is, and I read some stuff up, Wizards isn't saying you have to be certified to judge anymore. It's not like you have to go through Judges Academy to be a judge. It's kind of like they're like, you know, hands off. We're not going to worry about it. You guys figure it out. But events will be run by these Judges Academy. I think the big events, the GPs and the MCs and all of that are going to be, the Pro Tours are going to be run by judging. But what a crap show. I think level one is $100. Level two is $2. Level three is $4. $400 to volunteer per year, by the way. Not a one time. Per year.
Yeah.
So it's just... Meanwhile, you'll still be expected, if you're a higher level judge, to train on the arm, you know, for free. You're going to have to train the judges that want to be level ones. So I guess my combat should be like, what do we think about this? Should this have happened? What should they have done? Like, what do you think, Aramis?
Well, the unfortunate thing is that I was only able to take a passing glance while this was all going on.
Well, yeah.
And on the face of it, it seems like a scheme.
I thought the same thing. Seems kind of like a multi-level marketing.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's so hard to say because it's... I don't know. It's a difficult thing for me to really form an opinion on because it's brand new.
Right.
They haven't released all the details yet. There was an AMA on Reddit about it. I didn't get a chance to read it.
I did.
I know that it blew up. I know that it blew up.
It was bad. Ask me anything. We're not going to answer it, but you can ask me anything you'd like.
Yeah. I heard that there were a lot of roundabout non-answers to what they were saying.
I mean, my personal favorite one was when they were like, you know, what type of transparency can we expect? As, you know, we're giving you this money. We want to know where the money's going. What type of transparency can we expect? And their answer was, we are not going to be transparent.
Yeah, because they're not a non-for-profit, so they don't have to reveal their books.
Nope.
And
that's just it. It's stuff like that. I just sit there and go,
I don't know if they had ever planned on becoming a nonprofit or if there was some reason that they couldn't become a nonprofit. I had heard from some places that it's actually not that difficult, depending on what level you want to do. But the answer
I heard was they don't want to be a nonprofit because they don't want to open the books.
Yeah,
they have to open the books, and that's why they're not.
And I think just if it wasn't a yearly fee, I think I might be a little bit more apt to be like, okay, whatever. But since it's every year and there's no transparency and like when you're like a CPA or a lawyer, it's the same thing. You have to pay like a yearly thing to constantly re-up your certification to stay up to date, that kind of thing. But it also opens the door to, you know, an $80,000 plus a year job or $100,000 plus a year job. This doesn't really do that. They say that they're going to give you skills that are transferable to other pursuits, but they don't say what they are. It's the same thing like with organized play. We don't really know everything that's going on, and nobody's telling us anything until, oh, by the way, it just happened.
Right. Well, I mean, here's the thing. That's the thing everybody was talking about. I think if they could sit there and say, okay, you're going to pay us this $100. You're going to pay us this $400. When you do that, okay, if you become a level 3 judge, we're going to pay you to adjudicate, whatever it is. Okay, not just in cards, but we're going to pay you money. We're going to pay you back. Like, that's just it. You get certified to be a CPA so that you can do business as a CPA. Like, what you're doing here is you're paying for the privilege of them to give you foil cards at their discretion of what they are. Like, who's to say that as a level 1 judge, you're not going to get a bunch of foils for, like, you know, Sinister Sabotage?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice. Is it worth $100? You know, that's the thing that kills me. It's the lack of, you know, transparency as far as this is what your money is buying. Now, I get that they're a business, so they have to pay their employees. They have to pay their, you know, senior management, the whole nine yards. But there's a part of me, too, that can't help but wonder. It's like, okay, so what type of employees do you need? You need somebody to read the magic rules and to probably put it up on some sort of website. So you need coders. You need, you know, probably a call center of some sort for emergency hotline stuff. Yeah, that's about it. And you need a sales staff because they are talking about expanding the Judges Academy to more than magic. But what they said in the AMA was, yes, we want to pivot you to this. And somebody was like, so if I say you get Yu-Gi-Oh! And I want to be a Yu-Gi-Oh! Judge, is the $400 I paid, you know, going to apply to that? And they're like, well, we haven't figured that out yet, which means no.
Yeah, it usually means no.
So you would pay... It's a horrible... It's not an investment. It's a scam. I'm going to say it right now, in my opinion. And Wizards, please don't, you know, don't come after me. This is my personal opinion here. My opinion does not necessarily reflect those of the world. It's a scam. It's a 100%. I think what they were doing was Wizards was like, we're going to cancel the judges program. And I think the person who started this academy was like either a high place player or employee. And he was like, well, let me do this then. This will be great. And I'll take this over. And yeah, and they're just running with it and they're seeing an opening. Now, I can't fault them for that. That's capitalism. Okay, I'm fine with it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's crappy. It's horrible. What's going to happen is that the judges program is just going to go away. I can't imagine anyone paying. I mean, no, there will obviously be some. But I can't, I mean, I'm going to be very interested. And you know what, maybe we'll bring this up a little bit next week. When we're out at the store this week, I'm going to ask Steve about it. Be like, because he's a judge. Like, be like, are you planning to pay to be a judge? Which he might have to do for his business, and I get that. But, you know, I can't see somebody who just, you know, being a judge. Like,
well, let me throw something else at you. This is going to be a little bit of a curveball. It's still related to the Judges Academy and whatever it might be. I'm reserving final judgment, but my gut instinct is in agreement with you in that it's not a good thing.
Okay.
Between this, the MPL, the lack of information on the organized play, how the qualifying for Mythic Championships is an absolute shot in the dark.
Yeah.
What kind of confidence do you have for next year and organized play? What are we doing?
Well, that's just it.
This is every pillar of organized play is a we don't know yet.
And I've seen, and I mean, that's just it. A lot of people, the sky is falling. They're very nervous about the possibility. I mean, what I'm hearing is things like, okay, you know, you did this, you did this, you did this. And the judges, really, if you think about it, if you're playing Arena, you don't need judges. You know, you really don't. You need guys who can watch you and keep you from cheating. But, you know, you don't need a judge to make a ruling. And so what I, you know, there are people out there that are like, the sky is falling. This is the end of paper magic. That this is another nail in that coffin. And I've said for a long time, I don't think it's possible. I think it's possible.
Yeah, the thing that gets me the most about it is that all of this stuff is happening. It's eroding the goodwill of the player base.
Yep.
And it's coming at the exact same time when some of the best sets in the history of the game have been coming out, and the excitement level in the game has never been higher.
Right.
You know, Arena has brought so many players into the game. It's brought so many players back to the game. And now it's like, you know how we always say Wizards shoots themselves in the foot? It's like, this is like typical Wizards, but on top of typical Wizards, on top of typical Wizards, on top of typical Wizards. It's like they took like a freaking Gatling gun and just took themselves out at the knee, and they go, whoops, how did that happen?
And I mean, somebody in the past week or so, somebody came out and basically put out a tweet. I'm trying to find it.
There were a lot of pros after the last Mythic Championship who said, this is my last one.
Yeah. I think it was Corey Baumeister and a few others that are saying, you know, I think it was Corey Baumeister because he was basically like saying, look, I don't play Magic to sit in my house fire up Arena and be by myself and play against other people. For him, this was his social interaction, and he's like, the writing is on the wall, basically, was what he was saying, and I'm going to see if I can find that tweet.
I mean, it obviously doesn't help that Hogak was such a dominant force.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it didn't win, but damn, it was everywhere.
It's just, you know, he's like, basically, what they were saying, and maybe it isn't Corey, I got to find it. You know,
I think I remember who you were talking about, I just don't remember the name.
Right. I can't remember the name either. And, I mean, here's the deal. I mean, he basically is saying, too, he's like, you know, I don't want to be a streamer. I don't, which is how you be successful in Magic now. They've moved away with the MPL from doing the best in Magic to doing the best streamers.
Yeah, which
and
is
he's like,
nonsense.
I don't want to do, yeah, he's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to sit in my room and talk to a screen. And sure, it's social in that people are putting things on my screen and they're subscribing to my channel and blah, blah, blah. He's like, but I go to sit in a store and I basically, I'm paraphrasing here. He's like, I go to sit in a store and I go to interact socially and I want to look across and see somebody's face because that tells me things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sad, and I can't help thinking he's right.
Mm-hmm.
That the more and more that Arena takes off, the more that Wizards is going to start to wonder, well, not Wizards, Hasbro, really, mm-hmm. is going to start to wonder why bother. And paper Magic may exist the way Pokemon exists, and that to my sons, Pokemon is a video game that they play, and they get it for the Nintendo Switch, or they get it for their DS. And there's a card game, and they're aware of the cards that are associated with it, but they don't run out and get them.
Well, that's a little bit different, only because Pokemon started as a video game.
I know.
You know, and Magic's coming from the other direction. But, I mean, it's Hasbro, they've already said in their quarterly statement, they spent a lot of time in their quarterly statement talking about Magic and how good Magic's doing for the brand.
But they're talking about Arena.
They're talking about Arena too, but they're talking about Paper Magic as well. They're making so much money off of this. They want to hire more staff in Magic. They want to put more money into Magic, and it's just it boggles my mind how they have something so wildly successful, and you know it's been a runaway hit for 25 years, even well before Hasbro took over, and it just blows me away that it feels like they're squandering it so much, and it doesn't seem like it's that hard to let this game thrive because people love this game.
I think what you're reading into, though, I mean, I read the same article, and they do mention Paper Magic. They don't mean Paper Magic. You don't have to hire staff. You do not have to invest in Paper Magic. Sure, you might have to invest in designers, but that'll be at the cost of other designers who might be at the end of their, you know, their mental wits. Like, I've designed every possible freaking stupid creature I can come up with. I'm no good to you now. I'm going to go do something else. And they bring in another designer who's like, Hydroid Crisis. I don't know. You know, and comes up with that. There's really no investment to Paper Magic other than that. I think when they talk about investing, they may be talking about, you know, commercialization and all that. Like, you know, the War of the Spark commercial took off. And sure, they may be talking about that, but I can't help but think they're talking about Arena. Because they want to invest in Arena.
Well, they definitely are.
Yeah. Well, that's the only room for investment. Getting the old cards into Arena. Getting, you know, pre-Kaladesh into Arena. So, you know, start at Eldritch Moon and work your way back. You know, and
Somebody actually did that. They tried to crunch the numbers. And they said, based on the amount of time it takes to code a set and test a set on a digital platform, it would take them another 20 years to catch up with the backlog.
Yep. And it will.
Because you also have to keep in mind that there's multiple releases during the year, and if you want Magic Arena to be a complete comprehensive Magic, that means all the supplemental stuff has to go in there too.
Right. And MTGO, I mean, they're not investing, unless they're talking about that, unless they're going to say, look, MTGO we're going to invest in to be old school.
It's not going to work until they can get modern on Arena.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If you can get modern on Arena, well, either that or, haha, look at this.
Well, somebody said if they wanted to do
Arena.
Well, if they wanted to do modern on Arena, they said it would take about, I think, 5 to 10 years. to get all those sets. Because if you think about it, that's what, 13 years of sets? 10 years of sets?
That's why I sit there. Well, I sit there and I think to myself and I go, first of all, when you were making Arena, how do you not make Arena? MTGO, the way I understand software, like, I gotta figure there are databases somewhere with all those cards in it. How the hell do you not make a system that can go and interface with that database and pull all that data over and be able to use it? Like, I'm just like, I get, like, there's been movement ahead as far as graphics and all that, but a database is a database is a database. It's all SQL queries. Like, at what point? In all honesty, I hope they fired the first guy who did Arena because he screwed up. Like, you should have found some way to interface with that old MTGO database. You have all that information stored in a database, and you can't use it on the platform that you're putting your money behind.
That may not have been their intent. They may not have ever intended for Arena to be anything other than standard, and then this new historic format that's going to be coming out.
Right. Yeah, I'd be real interested to see when that's going to come out.
It's starting with rotation.
Yeah, they've got to start putting something together with that. Yeah, like, I know they came out and said something about it, but
it looks like it's going to start with Ixalan.
They're basically not going to rotate everything out that they're rotating out.
They're not. It'll rotate out, but then it'll still be immediately playable in the historic format. The new standard format will be guilds forward. The other question will be: okay, are we going back to Kaladesh? Are we going back to Amonkhet? How far back do we go? And some people are like, well, we know Eldritch Moon was in the alpha version of the game. Are they going that far back? They won't go back far enough to get fetches. I know that.
Yeah. But they should.
No. They should.
But, I mean... They should. I mean, I think this whole thing... I mean, the judges program aside, I think the judges program is an indicator of what's coming.
Another indicator that they're screwing it all up.
Well, I'm not going to say they're screwing it up. I don't agree with it. I think Paper Magic needs to stay. But if you're not going to have judges, and you're not going to have, like, organized play with your pros, okay, in paper, and that's just it. Like, these streamers, some of them have been playing Magic for years, and they know how to play it. But some of them, I don't know, like the MPL guys, if you put a deck in front of them where they have to remember the trigger... Like, that's key. Like, think about that. Like, you know, in Arena, all your triggers always hit. You know, what is it? A Johnny's Pride Mate always gets its plus one. Whether or not you they always hit. It always reminds you. Now, if you're playing this in paper, it's going to forget.
Well, I mean, you can get even more complex than that. What if for some reason, in an alternate universe, Thousand Year Storm was a tier one deck? Having to keep track of how many spells you've played.
Right.
And then, how many copies am I making? How many of them have different targets?
That's the type of stuff we have to think about, I think, going forward. And I don't know what the answer's... I mean, this doesn't look good. This isn't good for... I mean, again, maybe it's combat that we didn't do combat, but, I mean, this definitely...
This scares me.
Yeah. Because, like I said, I don't imagine the Judges Academy is going to be successful. And what's going to happen is Wizards is going to see they don't want judges. We don't have to worry about it. We gave them a way to have judges, and they said no. And, I mean, because they're famous for that. It's like, we're going to give you crap, but if you don't like it, well, we're not going to do anything. Because you don't want it. We're listening to our customer.
No, I like what they were doing for, like, the Mythic Edition. Oh, if you don't like it, it wasn't for you.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, they're not doing those, I guess, anymore. That was another thing that came out, is they're not going to sell. They're not going to sell online anymore. They're done with the online sale.
Yeah, but they're also doing like the. Well, this is more towards the Thorn of Eldraine stuff. We'll talk about that in a second.
Oh, that's next week. I want to get into like the different tier boosters and stuff.
Yeah,
that might even be our combat because that
it's going to be. I could tell it's going to be. I think we have different opinions on that.
Yeah, I think it's. Freaking ridiculous. Boosters are I'm sorry, I'm old school. Again, been playing since 94. Like, boosters are boosters, and boosters have been all right.
Moving on.
But yeah, I definitely think this judges program is,
it's a mistake.
It's a mistake. But barring that, great combat, but let's see.
Main phase.
Okay, so we have some info. The arena this week, they started out last week with this idea of Planes Vacations.
I like it.
You know, I do too. It's kind of fun. Basically, what it's going to do is it's a 5-week event, again, free to play. Losses don't count. The first week was kind of cool because they limited what you could play with. The second week, I mean, the rules are... Now, I read somewhere, like, are we not allowed to play Teferi?
There's like, a bunch of cards that are banned in this format, yes.
Yes, and so they took all the big bad cards out and said you can't play with them. So,
but they missed some.
Yeah, they might have missed some.
They missed Scape Shift.
No, they put it in.
Did they?
It's been altered, as I understand. I read somewhere the other day that they made an alteration. They took something out, I think Experimental Frenzy, and put Scape Shift in.
So, I'd have to check that, because I haven't played this week's yet.
I played this week's. I haven't played it with Scape Shift. I did it with Simic Flash, and I rolled 7 games in a row. But what it is, it's much like the one that was before. You've got six rounds you have to play. 6 wins get you the prizes. What they're giving away now is different styles of lands the whole way through, with the last one being, you know, really good. And they're giving you XP.
Yeah, the XP on the first win. Mm-hmm. And the 6th win, you get an unhinged land, which is freaking awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's not unhinged. It's Kaladesh.
Is this one Kaladesh? Because I think... Yeah, no, it's Unhinged Mountain this week is the 6th win.
Yeah, but it's not unhinged. I've seen unhinged. It's just a full mountain. It's a full screen mountain, like Amonkhet.
Yeah, no, but it's the art. Lands. It's the art from Unhinged.
Oh, okay, but they put the borders on it.
That's the borders are on it, but it's the lands from Unhinged.
Okay. But they really it's kind of cool. I really have been enjoying it. It's weird that it's only 3 days. Like, here's the thing. It runs Sunday to Tuesday. That's it. Like, it'll be done end of day tomorrow. And so if you don't play between then, you don't get to play.
Which sucks. I think it should be a week.
Well, their thinking was, and, you know, rightfully so, it's like for people like, you know, who have a lot of time, they'll start playing right away, they'll finish it, and then they don't touch it. For a week.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, not only that, what they were really getting upset about, too, was people, like, were going in and saying, you know what, when you get your 6 wins, go in and, you know, and I did this. I actually did this once. I spent, like, 15, 20 minutes. I gave 10 people wins. I would log in and then immediately concede. Because I'm like, you know what?
See, I did the opposite.
See, I don't know. I like being a nice guy. You're a jerk.
Yeah, but I'm a control player. What do you want?
But it's definitely kind of fun. This week, it's I forget what they are. Next week, this week it's you get treasures every round.
Mm-hmm.
And Planescations, are they calling it?
Planes Vacations or something like that. Yeah, I don't remember what next week says. But it's yeah.
And it's, you know, it's kind of fun. And it, again, you get tons of really great stuff. Yeah, I can't find it because I say Arena Vacations and now they want to send me to Madison Square Garden.
Sweet.
Okay. But in any event, you can find it. The information's out there. It's definitely worth your time. If you've got an Arena account, I would log in and do it. It's free to play. It's free to win. It's free to lose. You're free. It's freeing. It's very freeing. But the other news we had this week, and I mean, that's really all that's going on with Arena, is we did have the month rotated and all of that. So, but also what came out this week, we're going to move away from Arena. They did announce while we were away, and we'll get probably more into this next week. Throne of Eldraine is the new set that's going to be coming out in October.
Yes.
And it's based kind of like, around fairy tales. Which
yeah,
they sort of
spun it. They said it was Grimm's Fairy Tales meets King Arthur's Court.
Right. So it's going to have a lot of fairies and a lot of, like, interesting...
Not necessarily. They said fairies isn't really one of the main themes of the set. It's just there's going to be fairies there, but, like, you know, there's a... Rowan Kenrith, I think it is her name.
Yep.
She looks like Red Riding Hood. There's a Goldilocks character. There's a Gingerbread Man character. It looks freaking awesome. It looks like a bunch of fairy tales, but spun with magic. The way that magic likes to do things. So you know, like the art that they spoiled was the gingerbread man bursting out of a pie, jumping out of a window. It was really freaking awesome. Yeah. I love it. It looks great. Like Goldilocks had the three bears' heads mounted on a wall.
Totally. It totally looks exciting, and I think it's going to mix really well with Core 20 and, you know, War of the Spark. But and then, you know, it's coming out in October. Like I said, we'll go over that. They've changed how boosters are going to work.
Yep, we'll talk about that probably next week.
Yeah, because that's...
Yep,
it's you're okay
be,
with it?
It's yeah, well, certain aspects of it, yeah.
It's just it. I'm sorry, to me, and we'll talk about this next week. But to me, it seems like it's nothing more than a cash grab.
It
obviously
is.
If you're a collector, you're gonna. It's basically raising the price of booster packs, without raising the price of booster packs.
Well, I mean, it the collector packs themselves. I mean, what they're gonna have in them to me mostly justifies the price. Mostly. I think it could probably stand to be a little bit cheaper, but I think that price actually seems about right for what you're getting. But you know, like I said, we'll talk about this next week.
We'll do it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But it's I think
in the draft packs and yeah.
They're doing something different, and this might be something that they might actually get away with. That might actually work. It might not. But like I said, we'll get to that.
and then other than that, I mean the other big thing, and we're right in the middle of spoiler season. I don't know how many of you out there play Commander. Now, for those of you that don't know, we are a standard podcast by casuals for casuals. However, Commander's kind of a casual format, and it's a fun format. And, you know, Aramis, why don't you kind of inform the people, like, what Commander is, in case they don't know?
Well, Commander is also known as EDH for Elder Dragon Highlander. It started, years ago. Based around the five Elder Dragon Legends. And basically the way the format works is you build a deck with a legendary creature as your commander.
Right.
And you have the rest of your deck, which is 100 cards. So you have your commander and you have the other 99 cards as your deck. Your deck can't have more than one copy of any card outside of basic lands. And the cards in your deck have to all correspond to the color identity of your legendary commander. So whatever colored mana symbols appear on the card that you pick as your commander have to be the ones that show up in the cards you pick. So if you had, say, a Jeskai commander, you can't have any cards in your deck that have black or green mana symbols in them anywhere. In their mana cost, in their activated abilities, or in any of the reference text. Right. Other than that, I mean, you start at 40 life instead of 20. It's a multiplayer format, really. You can play 1v1, but it's generally built for multiplayer. And you start with 40 life. You take damage as normal, except when your commander, when you take damage from your opponent's commander, there's a special amount of commander damage that you're able to take. Is it 20?
Right.
It's yes. 20. If you take 20 commander damage, you lose the game. And then every time your commander dies or gets, you know, exiled or returned to your hand or shuffled back into your deck, you can instead choose to put it back into the command zone, which is a special zone for this format. And every time your commander goes to that zone, it gets a counter on it, and it's called the commander tax. So for every counter that's on your commander, you have to pay an additional 2 mana to recast it.
And the thing to remember about this is that it's basically going all the way back. Anything can be used in Commander.
There is a banned and restricted list.
There's a B&R, but it's for the most part, the format is any Magic card from the last 20 years that's not on the B&R. Right, it's pretty much Legacy even, all the way back to Vintage.
Yeah, it's Legacy, yeah. I mean, if you could use Power 9, everybody would, but right. I believe those are banned.
Yeah.
I actually don't know what the banned list is, because I've only played Commander like twice.
And there are some spoilers coming out. They always put a deck. They always put like 4 decks out a year. Mm-hmm. You probably see them in Walmart and things like that. And it's a different way to play, and it's a fun, interesting way to play. And you know, the best way to do it is to buy one of those packs and then you know jigger with it. But I mean, the reason to kind of talk about Commander is, and this is something we probably should pivot to and bring it back to Standard, because I just thought of this. Do you know what else they announced with Throne of Eldraine?
What was that?
It's kind of Commander related. Guess what's coming back?
Oh, yeah, Brawl.
Brawl. So there will be four Brawl packs.
They're trying again.
Yep, we're going to give this a shot. I liked Brawl. I personally did.
I did, too. It's just the problem with Brawl was Brawl.
Yeah. So it's definitely coming back. They're going to be working. You know, it's supposed to be 1v1 on a Magic Arena because they can't do four. But, I mean, Brawl is kind of Commander light. Same idea, 30 health, one Commander, one of each card.
60-card deck instead of 100.
60-card instead of 100. So, I mean, it's definitely worthwhile, though. That's a fun format to play.
Yeah, I liked it. I tried to make Zakama work, but yeah.
Yeah. I had a pretty good Brawl deck, I think, if I remember correctly. I was doing pretty good. I had the guy with the five
Nicol
Bolas
God Pharaoh, right?
Yeah. I did God Pharaoh, but I also did the... I had the guy who was like had the five colors on him, so I could basically put anything in I want.
Oh, Jonah?
Yeah.
Jonah.
Yeah, Jonah. Jorah or something, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with that, I mean, you know, definitely Commander's worthwhile. There's some cards in there that are just insane. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't play any of them in Standard, but it's definitely something to, you know, as you're looking through the webosphere this week about stuff, you'll see a lot of Commander. If there's something you want to hear about with that, you know, feel free to let us know. But I think we're getting right towards the end here. So, on that note, let's get
End Step.
So before we get into End Step, I do want to say one thing. I want to send a special thank you out to the SuperPod HeroCast. This is a podcast I listen to. I'm actually a patron of. It's hosted by two guys that I know through other people. One guy married somebody I sang with in college, and the other guy's brother is somebody I did a show with. Basically, you know, so that I support them. And it's a podcast about superhero comic book movies. Really great show. They swear, they drink beer. You might see some parallels. But they've mentioned our show two or three times now. They never got it right. The first time we were Plains Stalkers, and we were a meeting podcast, MTG. They saw MTG and said meeting. The second time, we were a D&D podcast. So I put something out last Monday, and it was on our Facebook as just kind of a little joke to them because, you know, I was laughing my ass off in the car when I heard it. But I did want to give them a shout-out. If you dig comic books, superhero movies, and, I mean, let's face it, as far as the geekosphere goes, we all probably do. It's a great podcast to listen to. They're really great guys, and, you know, I highly recommend it. But I want to send a thank you to them. But as we're going to wrap this show up, we're going to go ahead and start picking up our decks and putting them in the box and, you know, getting things together. Both Aramis and I, more me than Aramis lately, stream Arena on the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. So you can look up Planestalkers podcast, and you can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
You can also follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX. Like I said at the beginning of the show, there was a lot of personal stuff going on. That is now, I believe, for the most part done. You never really know. But hopefully I will be able to get online a little bit more often than I have been. But if Twitter is more your speed, you can also find our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter. What's so funny?
I'll tell you after we go off the air, but something you said struck me funny, and we're just...
Okay.
Take two. All right, take two. Rubber bee bubble cube. Okay. And you can find our... So you follow me on Twitch and Twitter. Okay.
Yeah.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. And, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just look up Planestalkers Podcast and like and follow our page. Although, if you're watching us live right now, you're probably already there. That's something. I can't see how many viewers I have. That's weird on this new system.
Well, anyway.
Go on, yes.
But, the last thing you guys can do is you can send us emails and ask us for advice in our Ask Aramis section. That's been a little bit dead lately. We've kind of been on like a mini hiatus, so I guess I'm not completely surprised. But anyway, the Ask Aramis section is where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And if you're interested in sending us an email about that, or even just to let us know how we're doing, our email address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And finally, you can leave us iTunes. Let's try that again.
The thing with the tunes and the eyes.
And don't forget, you can leave us reviews in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever else you catch our podcasts. They really do help bring visibility to the show, and if we see them, we will read them. So if you put one up, make sure you email us as well, and we'll definitely read it. But we're going to go ahead and back ourselves out of here now. We will be back next Monday. The intention is to be here. So around 7:30, 8 o'clock, depending. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying, remember to always keep some of your lands on tap because you never know when you need them. Take care and have a great week.